Sir, you wear many hats. Let's put on the light blue one first. Did Harrison Ingram go into the NBA surprise you at all?
No, not at all. Sorry, I laugh because if we were able to do this by video, you would see my wall of hats where I literally do wear many hats. But no, Harrison going to the NBA doesn't surprise me at all. You know, he was a he kind of got forgotten about over at Stanford, but it's easy to forget he was a pretty highly rated recruit coming out of high school. And you cannot ask for him to have had a better season to on display than he did with Carolina this year. He was used in a correct position. They used him more as a guard, a weird guard position in or down low in Stanford, and there, like, as the Brady Manic four, he just thrived at Carolina. He showed rebounding ability, he showed takeover game ability, he showed range. I'm not surprised he's going through the process at all, and especially in the class that a lot of experts consider one of the weaker ones. You know, there's real talk to where he could sneak into the first round, and even in the say of NIL, if you can get a first round guaranteed contract, you got to take it.
All right, so let me just the natural follow up to that is, because when you say real chance he could sneak into the first round, I've looked at a lot of NBA mock drafts, have not seen Harrison Ingram's name anywhere in the first round. Is he keeping options open to return to UNC, or is he simply turning pro?
John Rothstein actually tweeted this out earlier. He kind of confirmed some things that I have heard. His intent is to stay in the NBA draft.
Okay.
But he's not hiring an agent. He is not. His intent is to keep his college eligibility open. So the idea is that if he goes to the combine, or if he doesn't get an invite to the combine, he goes through workouts and he basically gets that guarantee. The feedback he gets is, I'm sorry, you're just not going to be a first rounder this year.
Right.
He still has his options open to come to Carolina. But you can make an argument that even if he doesn't have that guarantee of going into a first round this year, this is still going to be his best chance to move into the pros, even with NIL, even with the other opportunities he would have to come back at Carolina, because again, next year is supposed to be a stronger class. He's not going to have Armando Bacot down low to kind of draw defense's attention next year like he did this year. There's a real chance of regression for him next year. You could argue this is going to be the best his stock is going to be this year.
Al Hood, Tar Heel Blog, Canes Country, final Tar Heel. But that's probably not the final Tar Heel Blog question. I hope he comes back simply because I look at him as potential 3-and-D guy. But Sam Vecenie didn't have him anywhere in his 2-round mock, although maybe he didn't know that Ingram would declare, and maybe an updated one would have him in there. But Seth Trimble goes out, which to me is an indication that R.J. Davis must be coming back. But do you have any feeling about one way or the other what R.J. Davis is going to do and who else? And, you know, Carolina's got to be involved in the portal pretty heavily, no?
They do. The folks over at Inside Carolina do great inside work on this, hence their name. the indications we got from Carolina this year was that, unlike last year where they were obviously very aggressive in the portal, this year they understood that things were just going to need to take their time to shake out. And the question of RJ, his situation is also very similar to Harrison in the sense that you could argue his stock is never going to be better, but you also can argue that stock is one that's never going to go into the NBA. So why leave UNC when you are probably going to make 7 figures in NIL going to Carolina? My feeling is I've since the beginning of the season, I always felt that at some point RJ is going to go through the draft process.
He should.
Yeah. He needs to get the feedback. It's free. Get it. Find out what they say, what possibility you might have. But he's been gifted this extra COVID year. He's had his career at Carolina has had many ups and downs. Hard to say that it's been more up than it is. And, you know, Carolina has some great 5-star recruits coming in with Powell Jackson and Brown next year. the supporting cast he's going to have is going to be different, but it is going to also be really good that he has a chance to shine again. I would love to see this team with him on it again. I would be surprised if he decides to leave Carolina, but I wouldn't be. I would understand if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, if he feels like he can be in, you know, in an NBA on an NBA roster, you know, then yeah, go ahead and do that. But
It also makes sense. It also makes sense too. There gets to be a point, you know, this would be his fifth year of college. Like he saw
enough is enough.
Yeah, at some point you're just like, I'm ready to grow up. I'm ready to leave college.
I said that to my son when he was asking for a fifth year. That's another story altogether. Al Hood, Tar Heel Blog, Canes Country, joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Let me just now kind of flip to Canes Country real quick, because in our offline communications, you said you could make the argument for Pyotr Kochetkov to be the starting goaltender tonight in Game 2. Just talked about this a second ago, I think Carolina's got two really good goalies. No offense to Pyotr Kochetkov. I can't make a good one for a goalie not named Frederik Andersen to start tonight, unless there's an injury that we don't know about. So your argument for Pyotr.
I didn't say it would be a good one. I think the easiest argument that you can make is that as good as Freddie has been, he's still pretty recent from coming back from the blood clotting issue. He has not done a back-to-back game since coming back, and at worst, he's had, 3 days off between starts, even when they were through that gauntlet of a schedule where Carolina was playing every other night.
Uh-huh.
So now all of a sudden you're going to ask him to say, okay, now only after playing 7 or 8 games, okay, now let's let you play back-to-back starts. And it could mess up his recovery process. The fact that he didn't skate yesterday, the fact that he didn't practice yesterday also kind of rings a little bit of an alarm bell to me, because it's like, if you're going to have him start, why wouldn't you have him at least get out on the ice and play and take some shots as well, so he can start to kind of get back into that routine, get back into that mindset. And you can feel comfortable putting PK in net, because he's the big reason why the turnaround started before Freddie even came back. So it's not like you're saying, okay, let's just relax. You know, we're going to take a step down by putting PK. In fact, the most recent game that you could try to compare the Canes playing the Islanders back in March, PK was in net and they won.
They played well.
So there's also the marathon, not a sprint argument, that let's not jump into putting Freddie in back-to-back games right at the start, because if this is going to be a long Stanley Cup run, let's not wear him out now. You've got a 1-0 lead. You've got a little bit of wiggle room to work with. Why not keep going with the process and the way that you've been going? And then you've got yourself the luxury that if, for whatever reason, PK falters, or if he has issues, you can go back to Freddie. He still comes back with his regular, rest and his routine. And then if he is stellar, like you would expect him to be, then he understands now it's going to be that way. That's the argument. All that said,
you expect Freddie Andersen to start tonight.
Yeah, if Freddie starts tonight, I'm not going to be surprised at all.
I can make
the case for it.
I will talk to Rod Brindamore, Al Hood from Tar Heel Blog and Canes Country, joining us here. I will talk to Rod Brindamore at 5 o'clock today, maybe 5:02, and it will be the first question I will ask. Like, goalie, if he says Pyotr Kochetkov, I am not going to respond with, are you out of your mind? I'm not going to say that, because I know how good he has been, especially since that game in Ottawa in December. I mean, the numbers don't lie. He has been a top five NHL goalie. No joke. Since that, his save percentage is near .930 since December 12th. So I'm not going to say, have you lost your marbles? Because I get it, but I might think it only because I think Freddie has shown steadiness that, look, Kochetkov is going to be their number one, a number one type goalie for them. But right now, the way Freddie is playing, every opportunity I have to have him play, he plays. I do think there's an argument to be made if Carolina wins the game tonight that you could turn to Kochetkov in game three, which is almost a free shot, right?
Yeah.
I think you could turn to Kochetkov in game three if you wanted on Long Island, which, by the way, that was where his good game was. In fact,
right.
Carolina's two best games that they played against the Islanders in the regular season were both up at UBS Arena. The two here were both kind of gong show goaltending poop shows.
Yeah.
And Kochetkov started both of the games here. But I would, if I was going to throw him in anywhere, I think it would be game three of this series. And then, no, I'm coming right back with Freddie. Or maybe they do it Freddie 3 and Kochetkov game 4 simply because there's a only a day and a half, because they go Thursday night, Saturday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I think you'll see two different goalies there, but I think you'll see Freddie tonight.
But you see, you also are making my argument why you continue the rotation. If you're going to rotate them in Long Island, why wouldn't you go ahead and rotate them tonight?
Rotating in Long Island because of the time difference.
No, I know.
That's it. I'm not doing it for any other reason.
I didn't say it would be a great argument, but there is an argument to be made. I'm not surprised. Oh, also, I know you're probably getting close to up against it. To answer your question, Roxy Bernstein and Kevin Weeks are doing the call for ESPN2 tonight.
Oh, that's right. We do have Weeksy in the house. Roxy Bernstein, who used to cover the 49ers in football for radio way back in the day, but I just dated myself. I don't need to explain that. Al Hood. At Al B. Hood on Twitter, Tar Heel Blog, Canes Country. Thank you very much, my friend. I'll talk to you very soon.
No problem. Happy to be the most important person that ends up on your show today.
You're the first one. You hit leadoff. You were our Ricky Henderson.
Justin Williams, Eric Cole, Tom Dundon, Al Hood. You know, that's just probably the closest I'm ever going to be in the same place with them.
It's the Fab Four.
Thanks, Adam.
Take care, man.